In the work that I do in the Diocese of Arkansas, the mission statement for my project, which is called Seed Work, is to enliven the faith of those that are already in the church, to reach out to those who are unchurched, who might be interested, and to help heal those who have been wounded by the church. I think I need to add to that list to reach out to those who are bored with the church. B-O-R-E-D. And the first dream that I'm going to share is a woman who was bored with the church. We have a little renegade dream group among our 32 dream groups. We have one that the people that go just feel better if they don't meet in a church. Of course, it's fine with me. It doesn't matter where they meet. And some have been hurt by the church. Some just don't like the building. And so they meet at the Sufficient Grounds coffee shop once a week. And whereas most of the dream groups start with a prayer and scripture, this dream group, they hold hands and they say, boom shakalaka laka, boom shakalaka laka, boom shakalaka laka, boom. They want a beginning ritual. They want a little funky rebellion. And that is their scripture, their ritual, and their opening prayer. So here is a dream from a woman in the Boom Shakalaka Laka dream group. I'll give you a little background on this woman. This woman's parents did not want her to go to church because they didn't think it was a good thing. So she would sneak off with her grandmother and go with her grandmother to church. And then she would steal away and visit her friends' churches. And so she was very interested in church, of course, because it was very forbidden in her family. And she had a deep hunger to know God, but she never found a place. She never found a way to fit in. She's really, really bright, very, very creative, very artistic, very much the high IQ hippie who's now married and raising a family and trying to make the high IQ hippie thing fit into little kids. You know, that's complicated. And so at some point in her journey, she also had about 10 years of being a devotee of an Eastern guru who brought a lot of love into her life. And she writes about that and has given me beautiful things about that. Anyway, she has a good friend who is in the Boom Shakalaka Laka dream group, and she keeps seeing how this woman's life is being transformed. So she decides that she's going to join the group. Very soon after she joins the group, she has this dream. I'm looking at a pond while a man to my left, who I do not see, is telling me about the pond. I feel such calm and peace, light and heavy at the same time, while the voice speaks about the pond. Now there are women in the pond, standing in the water up to their waists. They are all dressed alike in blue robes, blue head veils, and a blue face veil. One woman faces us and the others face the opposite side of the pond. The woman facing us is staring right at me, waving her arms over the water so her fingers can playfully drag the surface. It is very playful. It's inviting. It's clear that she's inviting me into the pond. Then behind the women, on the other side of the pond, I see Jesus. He is looking right at me, and the voice is telling me about the pond. Jesus starts to walk on the water toward me. As he does, this huge voice says, I am the one that made the pond. I reply, the woman says, now that's the miracle. It's not the walking on the water, it's the making of the pond. Why don't we take a moment and do our own associations to the women in blue in the pond, inviting this woman into the pond. So here's this huge pond. On the other side is Jesus, and there are women all in blue, and the one at the very front is particular, inviting her into the water. So what are your associations to the women in blue, actually? Yes. So for you, it's a priest. A woman in a robe is a priest. It's a feminine priestess, okay? Other associations to this woman in blue, yes. Mary. Because so often we see Mary as the mother of Jesus in that lovely, lovely color blue. It's a clear color. Okay?
Technically, that's blue.
Queen of Heaven blue that shows up in some of our dreams. Yes? A wisdom figure. Okay? So wisdom is inviting into the water. What else comes to mind? The Islamic women. Okay? All right?
Mother.
The mother. And did somebody over here? The mother. Okay? The mothers. The mother's inviting. Anybody else? Any other image or... Yes? Initiation. Okay? That's a wonderful image.
Like baptism.
Baptism. Okay? All right. Anything else? Yeah. Water of life. Being invited into the water of life. Okay? Anything else? Yes. Invited into community. Boom shakalaka laka. Boom shakalaka laka. Yes.
Mystery.
Women of mystery. Okay? Yeah.
Spirituality.
Feminine spirituality. Yeah. And what about... Yes?
For me... Blue is a cool color as opposed to a warm color,
mm-hmm.
and there's something about approaching emotions gingerly and carefully, coolly, rather than very different dream if these women were all dressed in red.
Yeah, yeah. So the energy that is doing the inviting is it's a soft, cool wisdom energy. It's not a coercive energy, which wouldn't work with a rebellious hippie. You know, you don't need a hot red energy. This doesn't need to be forcing in. It's inviting in. Yes, and that fits with the water too. Yes. She's being brought in to something that's already developed and already happening in other layers of the psyche, maybe. If these are her interior women, then places are already turned toward Christ. Okay? Yes.
Being in water means that you could only move slowly.
Mm-hmm. So you'd move slowly. Okay, let's do a couple more. Yep.
She wades into the river.
So he's thinking of, he's been reminded perhaps from Jeremy's wonderful talk about how these motifs reappear, of an African story where the woman becomes pregnant if she wades into the water. Now, let me just play with this imagery a little bit. When the woman told me this dream, I thought, oh, how much fun to have a dream like this to teach from, because it has such rich imagery in it. And now, most of you have already had all the talks you maybe ever want to hear about the feminine. But some of you have not, and I'm going to do a little compressed 2-minute, I hope. You can time me if you want to. I just want to review how I'm using that word, okay? So if you're new to the work, this might be helpful. In the work that we've been doing the last few days, for me and for many other people, the dreams and the body and synchronicities are connected with a receptive mode that I associate with the feminine. And the more you do the dream work, the deeper that feminine receptive ability or connection becomes. Also, the more the body becomes ignited, enlivened, conscious, alive, wiggling, more and more of an information body. So the body that you start with when you start to do inner work is not the same body that you end up with the more you do it. The body itself becomes more and more available for information, as does meditation, and as does paying attention to synchronistic events. So life will go along and you will have opened a door into the feminine, even a deeper level of it than you had before, and you will use that process or those techniques or those modalities, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue, another layer of it will open, unbeckoned by you. So more and more and more from this receptive mode. In this particular dream, it seems like the woman is going to go through the feminine way, or her unconscious, or her intuition, to this next meeting with both the inner and the outer Christ. And that's what is about to happen as she joins this dream group. So the dream is preparing her. You're not going to go on this next spiritual step through reading, although reading is great. You're not going to go through debate, although debate is great. You're not going to go through a flash of intellectual insight, although that's a good thing. You're not going to go through a project, although projects are a good thing. Something is about to open from the feminine. One other comment on the dream before we go on, and that is, it's very interesting to me that the dream ego in the dream is more impressed by the creator of the pond than by the women or the pond or what's about to happen. And I think that's an interesting set of imagery. Once in meditation, I saw this huge, vast feminine energy that I knew for me was the feminine side of God. And in her uterus, I saw Christ being created and being born. And I had just a flash of insight that we worship Christ and that there's a whole nother gigantic level bigger than that and even more than that. And here I'm just trying to get people to have a birthday party for Jesus instead of Santa Claus. I mean, that's real low level. I mean, I'm just trying to bump us up from Santa to the next big guy, you know? But this dream catches that same spirit that she's very excited about being invited into the pond, but there's another part of her that's saying, and there's even more. There's even more. Whoever made the unconscious, whoever made the feminine way, whoever made the creator has a whole other dimension. We'll go back to that dream perhaps a little later. Now what I want to do is I have collected two or three other dreams that all have images of Christ in them that I want us to look at a little bit. And I did not do this intentionally, so I either have a biased population that I'm drawing from, or there's something to be said about the group from whom the dreams have come. And I don't know which it is. I don't have a theory on it, but we can kind of theorize about it later. One of the dreams is from a rebellious, troubled adolescent who is being forced to go to chapel and does not want to be there. Another is a dream of an African-American woman who is poor, who does not read well, who is addicted to heroin, crack, cocaine, and is pregnant. And another one is a dream of a man who has been heavily verbally and spiritually abused by a fundamentalist church when he was growing up. So these are my people. A lot of the dream groups that we have in Arkansas are for just kind of folks like you and me, but we have some for folks on the fringe, which really is of great interest to me. And part of what I hope we'll begin to catch a vision of as we get ready to leave and to go home is we're here to do our own inner work, which is essential. And we're also here to think about the larger community and how can this material be taken to people and places who need this work. And that will, we hope that that will include people of color, people in different economic situations, people in jails, people in a variety of walks of life. So we want to bump this thing out of one modality. Okay, so we'll go to the next dream. The next dream is a man who was raised in an extremely fundamentalist church and has just suffered in every possible way imaginable that you can just fantasize as bad as it could be, and that's how it was. This is this man's dream. I told him he made it up so that I could have fun teaching from it, but I don't think it's true. Okay, so he has a dream that Christ has come back to earth and that Christ is in Little Rock, Arkansas. And there are huge, vast crowds pouring in to meet Jesus. And his wife, the feminine, his wife says to him, "Let's go see Jesus." And he says, "No, we're going to wait until the crowds die down. It's too obnoxious to go out there and do it right now. We'll wait." And so finally she talks him into it. The feminine talks him into it. They go out to see Jesus, and Jesus is in a huge suburban fundamentalist megachurch that feels to his soul like a concrete Walmart superstore. So it is a gigantic building. It is made of concrete. The seats around are all concrete, and it is absolutely huge. Now remember, this is a movie of something that's going on in the culture, as I tell you about this fundamentalist energy. It's also something going on within his own soul. So every part of the dream is not only a part of him, but it also reflects stuff that's going on in the culture. when he goes into the megachurch, the doors open automatically. So just let's just stop for a minute and let's do an association to that. They're electric, automatic doors. So just do your association to that. What comes up? Automatic. Automatic pilot. Keep going. Whatever else comes. Prison cell. Keep going.
Walmart.
Mechanical. Big Brother. Keep going. You're good at this.
No effort on his part.
Absolutely. He just automatically lands into this place in consciousness. Dreams are a movie of a place in consciousness. So he's making a little movie of what it's like to be in this part of his psyche, his soul. What else? Anything else about the automatic? He thinks he's about to be sold something. All right. All right. Now, I'm going to give you a piece of the end of the dream, and then we'll go through the middle of it. In the end of the dream, when he gets ready to leave, he cannot get out as easily as he could get in. To get out, he has to pay money to men who are in green polyester leisure suits. Okay? And they have long wooden handles with a bag on the end. You get the picture? And money often, not always, but money often in a dream is energy. So he can get into this place in his psyche easily and automatically. All right, he can just fall right into that way of thinking. But to get out, he's going to have to use energy. He's going to have to pay money, use energy to get out. So we'll play around with that image of the men. Okay, when he gets inside, on the front of the building was the name Jesus Christ in cheesy lettering. Okay? In the middle of the building was a small train about the size of the one at the zoo. So you know at the zoo there's a little children's train and a track that goes around and around the same track. And he says all the cars are open so you could see in them. It was bright in this building and hard to hear. It felt like a warehouse. As we sat in amazement, along comes the train with Jesus in one of the first cars. I didn't see anyone else on the train. He was dressed in a white robe, had long hair and a beard. However, he had his hands and feet tied, and he was gagged. He has his hands and feet tied, and he was gagged. I become really upset and say to my wife, look, they put a white robe on him, made him grow long hair and a beard. He wouldn't look like that unless they dressed him that way. They've made him look like all the paintings and all the stained glass. They will not let him speak for fear that he might say something that is not in the Bible. They gag him because they're afraid that if the living Christ breaks out in this culture and in this man's psyche, that he's going to say stuff that's not in the Bible. And you can bet he will and does. So what is going on in the soul of this man? The woman in blue, the Mary, the wisdom figure, the inner intuitive, the feminine, is taking him in and showing him a movie of where his inner Christ is gagged, bound, going around and around on the same track, wounded by fundamentalism, and still to some degree trapped there. What other images or other associations or thoughts come to your mind? Just let's hear it. If it were your dream, anything else? He is on a children's train. Okay?
It's like a freak show.
It's like a freak show. Okay, keep going.
Soul train.
Soul train, gagged soul train, maybe, huh?
Prisoner.
Yes, prisoner in a soul, yeah.
It's hard for me to imagine prisoners on railway trains and not think of World War II and the Holocaust.
Really, that's very true. That's a very powerful image stored in our psyche. On the way to the death camp.
Killing a Jew.
Yes, killing a Jew. Yes.
What strikes me is his...
So what strikes you is his compassion for the imprisoned Christ. And it's like he knows the one that's not in prison. and also his rage. The Mary, the blue feminine, can also take us to our rage at social injustice and can use dream images, if we will place ourselves in the right situations, can use us and our dream images to change not only our inner life, but these outer situations. Yes. The industrial, are you speaking of like the industrialization of America and capitalism? So it brings those images up. Diana?
For me, not being able to.
Exactly. Exactly, because the track goes around and around. There's nothing new happening. Okay, and again, just to summarize a little bit before we go on. Okay, you've got something you really want to say. Let's do it. The man in blue. Let's hear it.
Railroaded.
My brain doesn't work that way, and I love it. I can't get my brain to do as many puns as I would like, but I love that. It's wonderful. Okay. Before we go on, I just want to say I know of no place on the planet where you can get as much bang for your buck in consciousness as in the dream process. Look what these two dreams are loaded with. They are free. Nobody had to pay money to do this. They are poured out nightly.
It took energy,
but it also takes energy to live unconsciously and clean up all the messes we make that way too. So I want to again cheerlead that you're here, that we are here. I do not know of any place where you can gather as much information about where the divine is working in you, where you're stuck, where you're broken, where you're whole, where you can move. So treasure these images that you're being given at night and reach for that in the people that you love and in the people that you serve. Yes?
I just want to say something in general about this dream that strikes me is that this is one of those dreams that is not as much for the individual as for the culture. This dream to me really comes out of collective unconscious.
And yeah.
If this individual were in the Old Testament, he'd be going to the temple.
Yeah.
He would be a prophet.
I agree.
This speaks to me about the future of the church. It's a warning. It's an alarm. It's coming out of more than one man's consciousness. It's coming out of the consciousness of the church of North America.
And for those of us who love the church without liking it all the time and who hope that it will continue, these are the dreams that help us figure out where's the energy of consciousness trying to move. Because all the time, there's always something new coming into consciousness on the planet. And part of what I love about the dream process is if you want to catch a glimpse of something brand new that God is trying to do on planet Earth, listen to a bunch of people's dreams. Because the edge of that light is sneaking through and creeping through in dreams. And there'll be images that people will not be able to understand because they're so fresh and they're so new and maybe so unruly and so ungagged. Our conscious mind can't get it yet. Okay, last one before we go on.
I was moved that you were moved to tears as you talked about what's happening.
I was surprised, too. Yeah, I was like, oh, we're putting this on a CD. Let's don't take it too far here. It is that powerful because the energy of the interior Christ is so powerful that I want it unleashed for all of us. And I want to know all the stuff that's not in the Bible. I want to know all the new stuff that living bread is trying to deliver on the shores of the lake to you and to me. I want to eat that bread and I want to digest that bread and be transformed by it. Okay, let's go on a little more.
Don't we hear the middle of the dream?
I think we have heard most of it. Let's see. Gag gets upset and won't let him say what's in the Bible. He tries to get his wife to go. He says, I've had enough. We get up, we head for the exit. In the front of the automatic exit doors were old men in lime green polyester suits with big fat ties. They have smiles on their faces, but they don't speak. In their hands are long poles with wicker baskets on the end, and they will not let us go until we put money in their baskets. We cannot get out. So that's the ending of it. Let's do the teenager one, and then let's go to the ghetto, and then it'll be time to talk a little bit and wrap up. Okay, the teenager one. I got a phone call from an Episcopal church in Mississippi, not a church, a boarding school. Would I come down there and do a workshop on dreams, 75 of their kids were studying dreams. They'd read a book. They wanted to know if I would come to a workshop, and I said yes. So I get in the car. I drive down there 5.5 hours in the pouring down rain on mostly a two-lane run. I'm thinking, okay, what am I doing? I get down there, and I realize what I'm doing. I walk into the chapel. I stand in front of the altar. All 75 kids, these come in on Saturday morning. Some are interested, some are not. Backpacks, tattoos, piercings, raggedy jeans, leaning up a wall, holding the boyfriend, kissing. The teacher says, don't kiss that much. Okay, we walk. Some of them are sleeping, some of them are what? You get the picture? But it's adolescent energy. I mean, it's just hormones everywhere. And I do a little bit of teaching, and again, I'm standing in front of the altar. I do a little bit of teaching, and I then do a little bit of teaching about dreams, and I say, does anybody have a dream that they would like me to demonstrate? And that's really brave in a room full of 75 adolescents on a Saturday morning. They are forced to be in chapel, and not all of them even want to be at this school to begin with. And, you know, some of them are troubled kids that are at this school, and some are not. But from the back of the chapel runs this young woman with her dream written out on two index cards, screaming all the way down the aisle, do my dream, do my dream, do my dream. Well, I mean, here it comes. So she's got black roots and bleached white hair, hot pink lipstick, so much that I'm sure her mother would just roll over, pierced belly button, tattoos, raggedy jeans, and she's running up there with this dream. And this is the dream. The dream is, I am with my friend and we are walking around the athletic track at the school, and all of a sudden everything becomes blank. And I am in a room where there are file cabinets 20 feet tall, and there are 7 drawers in there. And each drawer is filled with all of the sins and everything I have ever done wrong in my life. And I am sitting there randomly reading everything I have ever done wrong, and I'm crying. A Jesus figure comes into the room, except she calls him Jesus. In her dream, she says, Jesus comes into the room, and he picks me up, and he closes the door one at a time to each of the file cabinets. And then he carries me and takes me and puts me on the altar in the chapel, which is where we're standing. He places me on the altar like a baby and shows me that there is a beam of light going around me, and that there's a beam of light from me all the way to heaven, connecting me to him when I die. Now, troubled 16-year-olds cannot make this stuff up. The dreams are wild, creative, and have their own will. If the school had not encouraged the woman in blue, the feminine, the wisdom, the listening, the unconscious, how in the world would this child have ever even known that she had a laundry list on herself that was that long? That could be 30 years in therapy and $50,000, and it still might not have worked. So she's shown the dreams are an MRI of the condition of your soul. And sometimes you just see the messiness of the condition. Sometimes you don't see the resources that are available to help you. In each dream, you don't always see that. But occasionally, you're shown where some of the resources are that are going to be helping you out of the mess that you're in. So the woman in blue, for this young child, to me, is the school saying, we are going to look at the unconscious with you. We're going to let you marinate in the chapel, and yes, you have to go, and yes, you have to hear scriptures, and yes, you have to go to worship so many times a week. And we're going to place in your unconscious redemptive stories, redemptive energies, redemptive archetypes. And then we're going to teach you about the dream process so that something can break open and be healed. Let's just respond to that dream a little bit, and then I want to do one or two from women in the ghetto who are addicted to stuff. And I want you all to go home, and anybody that tells you that this is an upper middle class white woman's phenomena, I want you to tell them how wrong they are and how free this is to everybody. Yeah.
I satisfy and
And so it's a transformation of the sacrifice. Yeah. Now, I just cannot imagine how you could sit down with this rebellious, hippie, high IQ artist woman and just in a logical, linear conversation say, come on, try this because this might happen, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I can't see how with the second man, with all the wounding from fundamentalism, you could give him a lecture on how his interior creative spirituality is chugged up and blocked because of his wounding. It's not the same as getting it in a dream. It's not the same. It's not the same to say to this 16-year-old, God loves you, Jesus loves you, you're forgiven, and just go out and let it go. It's not the same. This is the woman in blue. This is the wisdom. This is the feminine energy. Through the receptive, intuitive, taking the people into the unconscious and allowing them to have an experience that they need to have. And by allowing them to have the experience, allowing us to have it when we share it and talk about it. We do not all have to have dreams like this, and we're not going to all have them like this, and that doesn't matter. What matters is that we live in community with one another, and that where you touch God, you share it with me. And where you touch the divine, you share it. And where you touch it, you share it. And that we put all of that energy into the room. The goal of dream work is not that everybody becomes a widget, a digit, a bidget, and I haven't gone far enough in New Age consciousness until I have a dream like this. That's not the point. The point is that we live in community and that we share these images and are transformed by them. It's not our goal that we all have to go out and have a dream like this. Our goal is to put people in situations to have the experiences that they need to know the divine, whether it's through weaving or painting or clay or dance or movement or the Eucharist, to put people in situations where they can have the experience of the divine and then to share those with one another. Anyone say anything else about the dream? Yes?
I wonder if this woman has a cult ministry.
Oh, wouldn't that be interesting? I mean, she's got the connection. She does. And she was so wide-eyed when she shared that dream with me. She was in awe of what the divine had delivered to her. And she was not going to let me out of that chapel until I had worked on that. What is to work on with the dream? I mean, you know, she's been worked on. What's to work on is to share it and to honor it and to celebrate it. I forgot to tell you the ending of that dream, which I will tell you real fast. In the ending of the dream, and this is at both adolescent and it's community witness. In the ending of the dream, she says that, you know, Jesus places her on the altar, shows the beam of light and the connection, and he does it with all of her friends and teachers there watching. Even the kids from last year. So how healing is that? How healing? Not only am I getting healed, but my teachers and friends see that I am okay too. Even the kids that have been graduated and are not even here anymore, there isn't that a lovely gift? One that we would want, but particularly a teenager would want, yeah. Okay, I just want to say a little bit, tiny bit more about the divine feminine or just the regular old feminine, whatever you want to call it. There is so much mystery for me and so much unknown in what it means to listen to the feminine. I get a pretty good grasp on it, and then I'm taken to a different level, a new place with my intuition, with my unconscious, with my meditation, a place where I don't have a reference point. So opening the door is beginning a process of taking you into a place of mystery through the receptive gear. And it's really important to have community around you when you do that. So I've mentioned this to a few of you about 8 years ago. The dream process started to teach me a different way to meditate. I've been a meditator for 20-something years, but the dream process itself started to instruct me in a different way of meditation. And that has continued for about 7 or 8 years. And that's too long of a tale to tell, so I'm not going to tell it. But the short point of all that is that there is so much more information in the unconscious than we can receive that we just get it in little pieces and little doses. And about the time we integrate one level of it, then another level of that deep blue woman opens up. And it's really important to have community with that. Okay, last dreams. We have two dream groups in the middle of the ghetto for women who are using heroin, cocaine, crack, methamphetamine, or whatever. It's a 6 months residential treatment program. It is run by the Department of Psychiatry at the medical school. My husband is chairman of the Department of Psychiatry. I didn't know that this thing was even connected with him when I first went over there. So I get a phone call from their social worker saying, our women are having all these dreams. We hear that the Episcopal Church is willing to come out and talk to people about dreams. Would you come? And I said, yeah, I'll come. I go over there very naively, thinking that it will be like the 20 years when I ran dream groups in my psychotherapy practice, which is we would go around and whoever wanted to work on a dream would work on a dream. And if somebody had one that they felt like was urgent or they were in a crisis, they got to go first, or we took turns or whatever. And so I naively thought we're going to go around the circle, everybody's going to say their name, everybody's going to say whether they have a dream or not, and then we'll decide who's to work on. Well, we go about three people around the circle, and somebody over here jumps up and says, I get to work on my dream because I have a doctor's appointment in 25 minutes and I am not going to be able to be here. The next woman jumps up and says to her, I am getting discharged this Friday. I've been here 6 months and I'm not going to be here next week when the Episcopalians come back and I'm going to do it. And then somebody else jumps up and says, Episcopalian? Somebody else says, she's not a prostitute. That one says, prostitute? I didn't say she was a prostitute. I said she was Episcopalian. What's Episcopalian anyway? Day one of the dream group. The only way you can be admitted to this program is if you are pregnant and a drug user or you have just had a baby. You can't just be a woman and be a drug user. You have to be pregnant. So here's a room of 10 women. I mean, literally, people have birth pains in the middle of these things. Women are nursing babies. They're rocking them in strollers. Pacifiers are being dropped and cleaned off. Babies are crying. I mean, it is wild. It's wild, wild, wild. It's intense. So actually, one of our dream group leaders is here, an Arkansas Cares dream group. Where is Joe? Okay, so Joe leads one of these groups, all right? And Shannon Hobson's mom is a ringleader of one of these groups. When we started, it was just me. Now I've got all these volunteers that I've trained. Let me just say that in the first dream that the woman worked on that day, I was so taken aback that I could hardly get centered to do dream work. And the energy over there is very intense. And I think the reason the energy is intense is because anytime any person on planet Earth decides that they're going to do a 180-degree turnaround in their lives, they're going to go from being caught in the darkness and do everything they can do to start a new life. I believe that the angels thicken around them, and I believe that the Holy Spirit downloads help. And I think that's the reason that so many people want to go volunteer at Arkansas Cares. They think they're going to help the women. I think there's so many huge 14-foot angels standing behind these women that the volunteers go over there because they want to get near those angels. And it's so thick over there, you cannot believe it. I could not sleep for two nights after I'd been to Arkansas Cares. And I got in the bed and I started telling my husband, this happened and that happened. He said, oh my gosh, all I hear about at work is women that want to go to Arkansas Cares. They want to knit blankets for the babies. They want to rock the babies. We lose $800,000 a year at Arkansas Cares. I'm the guy that's got to figure out how to raise money for Arkansas Cares. You know, we can't bankrupt the whole department because everybody in Little Rock loves these babies. And I say, I know it, honey, but it's they're getting healed. They're getting whole. He says, I know they are. That's why I keep hanging in there with them. He says, and now it's crawling into bed with me at night. I hear about it all day, and now it's getting in the bed with me and telling me how fabulous Arkansas Cares is. Okay, let me tell you two little quick dreams. The first woman's dream would be so obvious. I mean, I could have done this dream when I was a baby therapist, but I was probably so nervous by that time I couldn't figure out what to do. So I didn't do very well with it. But anyway, the woman's dream is, this is the first time I was there. This is a woman that is about to be discharged this Friday. The dream is a repetitive one. There's a man in my house. He keeps brutally beating me up and stealing my stuff. I fumbled around and handled it all the wrong way. And, you know, I also wanted to make sure she wasn't going home to some man that was going to be beating her up. And I was trying to kind of check all the levels. But I did too much interpretive stuff too quickly because I was anxious and people were fighting over who was going to get to work next. And I had so many women lined up with their dreams. I thought if I could just rip through this quickly. But that's never a good idea. Eventually, when I saw I was getting nowhere by trying to be so helpful, I just took a deep breath and went back to kind of the basics of letting her do her association to the images. And within a second, she said, "I know what it is. That man beating me up and stealing my stuff is my addiction. It's stolen three of my children who have been taken away from me by the court. The only chance that I have of keeping this baby that is in my arms is I've got to stay clean and sober." And then all the other women chimed in. "Yeah, maybe you're..." These people have never read a book on Jung. Half of them, third of them can't read. And the other women chimed in. "Yeah, that's your addiction. And maybe you're getting that warning because you're leaving this Friday. And maybe you need to be scared to death again so you never use." Because another one jumps in and says, "You're going back out on the street where all that stuff is available. You've been in this protective environment for 6 months. Maybe you're getting scared to be reminded so you stay clean so you can keep your baby this time." So all of our ideas about you have to read a book and you have to go through a book study, which I think is a good idea, and you have to be able to read, which is a great idea, and you have to have some organized way. We do not open with prayer. We don't open with scripture. We don't do boom shakalaka laka. I mean, we're just trying to make sure nobody delivers a baby in the middle of the dream group and that nobody has a fist fight with each other. And sometimes they come in and bring the baby that they've had that is so premature that it's hooked up to little wires. And you look in the blanket and they want you to tell you how gorgeous this baby is. And it looks like a little something that fell out of the nest too early. And you got to love on it and kiss it because they're going to keep nursing it and you're going to be back there in a few weeks and it's going to be bigger. It's not easy, but it's powerful and it's intense and the dreams are there and they're helping the women. And I guess the last thing that I have to say to you is in a meditation a couple of months ago, I'm interested in very esoteric things and I keep being called back to Christ, which is a blessing and a challenge. In a meditation about a month ago, I heard the sentence, just loudly, "I want to be made in the order of Christ." Like the Benedictine order, or the this order, or the that order. I want to be made in that order. Dreams are one place to do that for you and for people that would normally never come into your church, but you can go there and be church to them. Amen.